And you look this metric G bar on the cone of R square, G plus dr square, and this metric is Kf. And in fact, there is so-called Reed and felt field, which is a Killing Bell field. And then there is called transversal with a Kf structure. On this manifold M itself. I'm not a geometer, so and the first part I'm going through very quickly about the Sasaki geometry I will use. And you're not around to ask me any questions because my collaborator is not here. Then second part, when PDE is set, and then I'm going to talk about PDE. So and just recall in the Kehler case, suppose now you have Kehler metric G, then because Kehler, more or less, you can, there is a local potential, you can write down that G I J bar equal to some potential. And locally, you can write down. And the same thing for Sasaki, because it's transversal, so the Kehler, that's the Kehler case. In the Sasaki case, then you have a so-called transversal Kehler. And locally, there is a function of H. Everything now we're talking about locally. And this coordinates, so 1 theta n. OK, let me just specify that the dimension of the real manifold is 2n plus 1. So now the Kehler cone now is a compass manifold of dimension n plus 1. So the H, which depends only on locally on this n compass variable, such that gt can be written down locally of 2gij bar. OK, that's locally. And then you can write down that, of course, you have dz1, dzn. And then there is a dual xj, which equal to dd z of j plus of r, 1 of h of j. Hj means the differentiation in j variable, and d dx. OK, locally, c can be write on d of dx. And then, of course, you also have xj bar. So, and of course, then because you have s variable, so that's of 2n plus 1 independent variables, then you put of and the radial direction together called this w variable, then you have of the coordinate n of w, but note that this is not a holomorphic and the coordinate. But this will be very useful and locally, at least at one point. OK, so then because of transverse Kehler structure, then you can define partial by B, and of course, your partial B, and so on. So all the concepts of Kehler geometry can be translated to so-called transverse Kehler case. You can define the chain class, and you can also define the transverse rich form. And you can define transversal and scalar curvature, so on. So, and as in yesterday's Fatih talk, you see that the stability, in some sense, is related to the constant scalar curvature. And the same thing also is very interesting related to the so-called transverse, so-called Sasaki Einstein case, and also so to the transversal constant curvature case. So more or less, we want to understand kind of uniqueness and other structure together. Before we do that, I want to introduce so-called the deformation space. So because of this felt field, And then you have a dual one form, theta. That's one form, and which is the contact form. The good thing about this form that the transversal GT can be right down D theta. So this is the form of theta, and this form is plays very important role of that. So this is clear. Now let's look of this space H. All those functions, I'm going to C of phi is C of beyond C B of M. I'm going such that D theta psi of n power psi, which is not equal to zero. So now I want to define what CB is, all those functions which is smooth, such that so-called basic. And so that means that in is differentiation in this along this that field is zero, and theta phi will be defined to be a theta plus square root. That's very similar to the Keeler case. So that's in the Sasaki geometry, is called the deformation space of first kind. There are other kind of deformation, and but I will concentrate on this space. But notice then, because for this space, it is a nature, and measure on this space for each point in this space, then you can define a measure, see, and for any psi one, psi two, you can define and measure that that's equal to. Always confuse one of the constant. So that's why. So you just integrate of M, psi one, psi two, and then you have this D theta. So that's and the and so called the measure density at each of this point. Once you have that, then you and more or less define a certain kind of distance. Therefore, you can introduce so-called a geodesic in H. So geodesic in H is of certain and the path. It is a path such that depends on T, and you differentiate twice in T. Then you have a one over fourth or differential once in T, and then you take a gradient, and you take the psi measure of square, so that's equal to zero. So far, so this setting is, and is so-called the parallel to the Keeler case. Now let's recall what's in the Keeler case. So in later 80s, I think later 80s, maybe beginning of 90s, Mabuchi and then later Siemens, and then Donaldson introduced and so-called geodesic equation for the space of Taylor matrix. So if you take this B away, assume M to be a Taylor manifold, and then everything more or less like in Taylor case. So this is more or less a copy from what their program. So what Simons and realized that this equation in the Taylor case can be translated to a composite Mohn-Jung pair. If you introduce one of the one of dummy variable, so on. And later, Donaldson relates of this geodesic equation to the stability problem for the Keller and Einstein metric, and also for the and the other things together. He made several conjectures. So in the Keller case, the problem was considered in Xu-Xiong Chen's paper. That's in, I think, later 1990s, or maybe year 2000. What he proved then, that in the Keller case, there is a unique C11 solution to geodesic equation. As a corollary, what he proved then, of course, if the chain class of the Keller manifold of in this Keller class is less than or equal to zero, then there is a uniqueness for extremal metric. So that the problem we're looking at is very much want to answer the kind of have of this kind of corollary for the Sasaki case. Okay, so that is the setting. Now I want to deduce see how can we relate this geodesic equation and in a way such that we can solve it. So before I move on, I want to say a little more about Simons' deduction of the geodesic equation for Keller, for the space of Keller matrix to composite Mohn-Jung pair. Then we can see eventually there is similar things we can do, but there are some other complications. So now I want to recall the Keller case. So now Keller case again, geometric equation and geodesic equation is similar, but now you have not one fourth because that's just coefficient, and so then you have all these. This time, G psi is exactly equal to original G. So now that's the geodesic equation. So now let's look carefully about this geodesic equation. So in local coordinates, now let's see, suppose you have a function, which of course in T variable, of course also depends on, space variable, say suppose M. And this equation, if you write down this equation more carefully, disrespect the right hand side. Whatever you put on the right hand side, this equation is degenerate. You linearize this operator, it turns out that the rank of the linearized operator of this operator is rank 1. So you are in N plus 1 dimension, you have rank 1 that's degenerate. So what Simons observed that if you take of this, I call this equal to Q, you multiply Q with determinant of G of size, put this way. Well, you want to solve Q equal to zero. Okay, so the equation is degenerate. We have a problem. So now what he did then, he multiplied this together, then instead of looking at the zero, you look up some epsilon. Okay, say some epsilon larger than zero. It turns out this equation is elliptic when epsilon is positive. Well, the problem then, epsilon have to deteriorate to zero. So you cannot avoid degeneracy. Then the question is then, how can we get away from that? We want to produce solution for each of these epsilon and hope we have enough control of the regularity. And then you let the epsilon go to zero, you produce a solution. Okay, so that's, there's another complication here, even in the Taylor case, because you see, the space variable are composite variable. Now, time variable is t is real. So what Simon introduced then, instead of looking at the t, he complexified of this t. So write down t as, say, in plus, I call w equal to t plus of I some s. S is a dummy variable. A good thing about then that is that after you put this together, then the equation will be reduced to a composite Monge pair equation in n plus one composite variable. So the equation can be written down as the following. Determine, let's call that G bar equal to the product metric then that will be equal to G bar IJ. Maybe I should put alpha beta. So IJ will be of equal to 1 to of n, and alpha beta will be equal to 1 to n plus 1. The plus psi of alpha beta then equal to epsilon. And that is a very nice composite Monge pair equation. This equation, if you put on the compact manifold, then that's exact equation was your solved for the Calabi conjecture. So in this case, then because you are talking about geodesic, so now suppose you have two of points in H, then you want to connect the two points by geodesic. Therefore, you are solving a Dirichlet problem. Okay. So now I want to say that the advantage and disadvantage of this equation. The advantage of this equation, C0 come easily because you are solving Dirichlet problem. The boundary value are prescribed. Therefore, you automatically you get bound of C0. And the problem, the most difficulty for your solution of Calabi conjecture is C0. Okay. So that's advantage. But disadvantage, you see that if equation actually you have to think about, even though when if you're positive with this elliptic, but equation is degenerate because you let you have to epsilon have to be small. So what and the Xu Xiong Chen proved and there is a solution which such that there is a unique solution such that psi now in and z and the w variable which is such that of the following true. So C1 norm plus of Laplace of this guy is bounded. So notice very important C is independent of epsilon. So it's almost kind of you have C2 estimate. Once you have that, and then very standard argument can produce of this current and many other consequences and so on. So now I want to get to the Sasaki case. Well, Sasaki case is a little different. First of all, let's try to copy what Simon's argument and see what can we do for that. So if we try to complexify this time variable t, okay, well, then of course, the thing is nice, you have complexified variable t. So you have m, and then you have time of some of the complex curve. Because you complexify time variable t, okay? Then, of course, M is not Caleb, even compact. Then if you want to put in compass and Mongeon pair, you have to put in the cones one. So you could also, you have to look on this. Well, then you consider the Dirichlet problem, you see that the boundary of this manifold is not smooth, the cone. And that's caused a lot of trouble. Okay? So now, of course, this, of course, is not a very clever way to introduce and to think about this equation. Because in Kelly case, you get free, because a free ride, because this dummy variable won't give you anything and trouble. This here give you some kind of trouble. Therefore, what our first observation is following here. So we have time variable t. Of course, we have also, for the Kelly cone, we have radial variable. So instead, we just want to associate those two together, combine those two. And then, suppose you can translate this in the t to r, then you're working on the Kelly cone. That will be, of course, a nice Kelly manifold with the boundary. Okay, so that's the first idea. So one of the first observation suppose now we are originally then we have a path t, that's a path, say t is beyond to 0 and 1, and satisfy of this type of equation. So now we want to look at this space, now for m bar equal to m times 1 and 3 over 2. This is and a Kelly manifold with a boundary. Okay, very nice boundary. So now we want to relate t to r the following here. So that will be 2r minus 1, and t equal to 2r minus 1. So that, let me just, that's an important change of variable, but it's very simple. Well, if you relate that, then you try to calculate what this looks like, but turns out it's a big mess. So then you need a correction term. So correction term will be, now let's consider psi in R variable, and of course also in and a space variable in M, which equal to of phi, then this depends on T. So T now is 2R minus 1. And then you have space variable. We need a correction term full of log of R. So once you figure out this correction term, then we are able to, so that's a preferred coordinate. Then we are able to write down the following equation. Let omega psi equal to and omega bar plus of r square of 2 d d bar psi minus r square of 2 psi of r variable d d bar of r. Here, omega bar is the Kelly form on the cone of Kelly cone. Okay. So one of the simple observation is the following lemma. See that this psi this of n plus 1 equal to 0 is equivalent to of this equation. So solving this geodesic equation is equivalent to solve of this following complex Mongeon pair equation. But there's a little complication there I want to point out here. So in the Kelly case, you don't have this factor and you don't have this term. So your standard C2 estimate can, interior C2 estimate can go through, and you only need to worry about boundary estimate. And for the boundary estimate, and it was, there is a very nice argument by Bourguin, use Berry argument. So your boundary estimate is standard. So then yours, and so that's why Xu Xiong Chen was able to immediately to get to this solution for this bound, except for the composite Mongeon pair equation. In that time, it was not known. Even in yours paper, you have a grading estimate. Because now you have deal with the Dirichlet problem, the grading estimate is important. You need a grading. So that's the main contribution of Chen's paper, is that you get C1 estimate. Use blow-up argument, very complicated. You see two, you get estimate near the boundary of C, and the C2 estimate near the boundary in terms of C1. But you have to control how the C2 estimate depends on C1 norm. And then you do an derivative blow-up argument, it turns out the C1 must be bounded, okay? But recently, then, turns out that there is a simple grading estimate, and that was independently by Baraki and myself for the standard Calabi equation. For this equation, turns out C1 is very, very tricky, very, very delicate, because not because of this term, but because of that term. So at this point, maybe I should point out the general question about for the composite Mongeon pair, which I think is of interest to look at, is the following. Suppose now, instead of here, then suppose you just look at a simple case. For this kind of equation, you could do F. Instead, if G is scalar, then everything is very nice. So suppose G is Hermitian. And can you obtain all the estimate you have? It's yes, C1 you can do it, but C2 is still tricky in general. Because torsion come in, and you have to be very careful to control torsion in the estimate. So that's and just mentioned one of the problems I think is interesting to be looked at. So now let's go back to look at this equation. So that's the equation we want. Well, again, instead of look at this equation, so now let me write down in the local coordinates for this. So the equation is then, of course, you could do zero. But of course, we don't want to deal with zero, the whole point. So we check something in epsilon, and then make it a coordinate invariant, then you have to multiply of this determinant. So this equation is how we want to solve here for some epsilon like then zero. But again, of course, C0 is trivial, because you have sub-solution and you have sub-solution. So that is trivial. C1 is tricky, as I mentioned then. Before I do of C1 and so on, I want to, at least because for this audience, I want to outline general philosophy of solving so-called Fourier nonlinear equation. So let's forget about complex variable, but just because that's a special case in general real variable. Suppose now you want to solve some kind of equation of this kind. And this, we say then F is elliptic if then of this is positive. So that's kind of standard now is called the Fourier nonlinear equation, series of Fourier nonlinear equation is Fourier. So what you do then, of course, you do estimate. In general, for this kind of equation, you do all the estimate you will have. So And as either you use methods of continuity or you use degree theory, whatever. So you, instead of looking for one equation, you look for some of an equation with parameters. And you start something you know. And then you hope you can say, start something you know, then hope again from at the point you know, then you want to deform all the way back to the original equation. So to do that, of course, there is kind of argument. First of all, you show that when you do that kind of deformation, the argument and this is open. The solution and for those parameters, you can solve it is open, and then you prove that for those parameters you can solve it's closed. And then you can start from zero, you can go to T1. So that's dynamic. The difficult part is to prove the closeness. Okay. The open part usually is coming from implicit function theory. So the difficult part is the closeness. Closeness just depends on the estimate. So what's the estimate you need? So-called C2 alpha estimate for U, general solution. In other words, you want to pull then also in the process of this deformation of the C2 alpha norm is controlled, independent on the process of deformation that you want. So usually for the dirichlet problem, as I mentioned, that C0 norm is easy. And C1 is tricky and so on, then C2. So the landmark of the spring linear equation is then from C2 estimate to C2 alpha. And that is for the quaternary case, that was later 50s by DeGeorge and Nash and Moser, that's quaternary case. For the quaternary case have to be wait until in later 70s, that's the series so-called by Safarov and Krylov. That's the key ingredient so-called Safarov-Krylov's Harnack estimate. And then from there, you can use so-called Evans and Krylov. What series is then, if you have the equation is uniformly elliptic, and if this operator, which is concave with respect of this variable, or convex in this variable, then if you have C1, you will automatically have C1 and C2 up. So now the whole game from this theory is then we need to get a uniform a priori estimate up to second order. Once you have that, then you are at home. Okay, so that's our goal. So as I mentioned, C0 is trivial. So now let's look at C1 estimate. Well, the reason C1 estimate is tricky then because of this term. But luckily, because you see, we spent probably more than 2 months to get C1. The reason we didn't observe one of the very elementary feature. So, because when we solve this equation, we only need to look solution in so-called basic solution. That means all those solution, this can be analyzed from this equal to zero because we are looking for geodesics in H. H automatically to be there. And that is the key part. Another observation is very important to there that actually this guy is automatic control coming from the positivity of this equation. Because you look there because you think about the recall W equal to X plus of I of R in that component. And the term is that R square of 2 psi of RR, because this is basic, that's variable 0. So minus psi of R, and then, of course, and whatever have you differentiate twice, something, so then different dr square. So maybe I should put R, W, and W. And this is null. And then this should be no negative. because we assume that this is positive and the 114. So there's no negative. Therefore, you have a sign of this. Therefore, you have a sign from this sign, and then you get the ultimate form of this, because by simple and ODE argument or integration argument. So that's come from free. So that's the first part. And another observation is very important. For anything over here, then you add any of B of R. R is the radical function. And that's equal to the same thing as of this. You look on here, you see you plug B plus a linear function of R, say, plus R in, these two terms cancel. Okay? So these two terms cancel completely. Therefore, when we do all the estimate, we find that there's some kind of sign of this is important for us. Not just the bound, we need a sign. And we were not able to overcome this. And turns out, because by translating this to zero, because this is bounded, and then you can assume this guy is larger than equal to zero, because it satisfies the same equation. So this sign comes for free. Of course, you still have to do dirty work. Okay, go through the ultimate. So now let me just write down what kind of test function we need. So the whole thing about those a priori estimate, then you have to pick right test function and create so-called maximum principle. So the test function, what we want to there for the grading estimate, then let P of this equal to psi minus B of R. So instead of looking at this test function, you take two exponential, and then psi of this, and then you take grading of psi. For some but under control. So in other words, there is a maximum principle for this function. And which under control means an independent epsilon. Okay. So that is the first part. So then therefore this will imply that grading is made, which is under control. So now turns out C2. As I mentioned that without this four factor and without this term, and then yaw has a very nice grading estimate. So for this equation, yaw's estimate is following. You pick some of A of minus psi, and then you look the Laplace of this. For this function, yaw has the following here. So this is controlled by C, what's your proof. And again, this kind of use, and you have to go through some the detailed calculations, and that was non-trivial in the time. But now looking back, then once, you know, if room is dark, it's hard to find a switch. When you have a switch lights on, then there are many clever people that can have a shortcut. So that's what's and that time is darker. So that time in 1975, 76, that's more or less the most important and stage so-called development of Fourier non-linear equation. So in one point, that was the Krylov Evans and the Krylov Safarov, that's for C2 alpha. And the other point, the geometric analysis background read by yaw. So that's what's very important. So now let's go back to this equation. Okay. Yeah, for this equation, I still have epsilon stick there. I need epsilon still there. For this equation, now we want to get C2. Now turns out that then there are different kind of configurations because of those trouble terms. Okay. So then you have to reconfigure good enough. Again, that's again my belief that in general, I believe that Sasaki manifold, the property of Sasaki manifold should be better than general K. The reason is that this function. The reason is this function of R. This is really a magic function. And every time we run into trouble, and that's the one come to rescue us. Why? Because this R is very important. First of all, because of Sasaki, this is positive definite. In fact, the G bar, the Kelly form in the Kelly cone can be written down as half of DD bar of R squared. So you think about this as, say, and a manifold, you have a very, very global, nice global pre-subharmonic function. That's pre-subharmonic mean, defined in a global way. In the Kelly case, you don't have that. You only have a local potential. So suppose something to be better, but we still have to explore this factor and so on. Anyway, so that's the factor. So now, looking this here, now we want to switch the background metric. Instead of looking at the background metric of this form, think about this background as a background metric, because that's a global potential you have. So it's much better to handle, okay? Put up this background metric, then, so the key again to find a test function such that we can apply maximum principle. So in this case, the test function is different from this one. Let me write down the test function. So the test function is the following function of eta, which equal to, okay, it's very, very complicated. You have of A1 gradient of psi of square of K, which bet you the metric of this metric minus A2 of psi. That's very similar to what you all did here. So except we have to stick a gradient term in, because we have an advantage. We know now gradient is controlled. Okay. Then replace that, you have something of the path of k psi minus 2n plus 1 of psi of r. Well, this factor is also important to make something cancel troublesome. So once you know, of course, once you know the right test function, then you just compute and turns out the maximum principle will apply. Okay, so that's the test function we use. Of course, no one wants me to go through the proof of this. But sometimes, you know, it's good to go through because when you fail sleep, then you see the length of proof technically, probably you'll get away. Anyway, so that's from there, then everything, you know, because in elliptic level, that's the uniform elliptic and it is concave. Therefore, you have a solution. So therefore, once you have a solution, and then so from that solution, so what we have achieved at that point, then of course, we have now this under control. Independent epsilon. So now you make epsilon go to zero, but we have trouble because if you go zero, you don't get a smooth solution. You don't get the weak C2 solution. But turns out for all the geometric application you have, that's good enough. But of course, the open question and also very important in this field then to show that solution, even for the degenerate elliptic question, should be smooth for this particular problem. If you can prove that, then all Donaldson's conjecture will follow. Now, thing we can do then partially verify some of this conjecture in a partial way, so then you need to constrain and so on, some kind of condition put on, then you can verify this. But to conclude then, for all this together of NSPD analysis, what we can say about this space H? So now it's discuss some of the application of this kind of PDE analysis to in the geometric context. So just recall what this H is. Sorry, this should be D. So for this H, we can see something. First of all, H is a metric space. That means that triangle inequality, the distance between two and every two points, distinct points, are strictly positive, and the triangle inequality is satisfied. And also you can calculate the formula, it's no negative, no positive. Curve. So you can calculate and the formula and the curvature tensor is no positive. So that's very, very nice. And it's also geometric and geodesic convex. So one other thing I want to say something, because I think maybe I don't want to run into technical detail. For everything here, you can define Mabuchi energy or Mabuchi function. Very similar to the Keller case, you can define the Mabuchi energy. So that's, and good thing about that, the function of mu equal to the Mabuchi energy of any geodesic path, Mabuchi energy, along the geodesic path is convex. So that will give you the immediate uniqueness. With convex, if C chain class is less than equal to zero, that is still new. From there, immediately you can see that actually the, if the constant scale curvature metric is this, must be the global minimizer of this Mabuchi energy, and then must be unique, because it's convex. So that's where the uniqueness is coming. And of course, that's a big if. So the existing part of constant scale curvature is still open, and it's wide open. That is also one of the main problems to look at this case. So I think my time is running out, right? So maybe I just want to say a few words what we have here is very preliminary. And what we really want to achieve then, of course, we want to work better regularity than just C11 we have. Hope once you get that, then everything else will be very easy. But now here, and it's very, very rough stage, and it's not so satisfactory, but that's the very initial step we have. Thank you. Then this is a very formal calculation because you have a geodesic. So what the curvature, then you calculate along geodesic scenes and you do very formal differentiation, differential calculus, very formal differential calculus. That's exactly that, like in Kähler case. So, and because once you know that geodesic equation can be solved in the weak sense, and then you can, because good thing about that, because you can, it's almost everywhere twice differentiable, the geodesic. So you can differentiate on this. And differentiate that, then it turns out the terms is automatically have a good sign. So that is. And that's exactly for what is in case of Simons calculate. Of course, Simons assumed you have geodesic is smooth. And then he calculates, and at the same time, so that's the funny thing about that. I think Mabuchi was the first to introduce to consider this case. And then Simons later come in and didn't know what Mabuchi did and published. And then a few years later, Donaldson didn't know what the other two did. And then eventually, before he published, then he found out that other two did. But anyway, he also had a version published because he outlined some of the strategy, use this geodesic equation to look at some other geometric problems. Yes, so that's, I cannot say much about that because that's two geometry. So probably the question should be asked for my collaborator because I guess that should be similar. But now the symmetry have to be a little careful way because of the Sasaki. C1, yes, the distance function is C1, you can pull it. We cannot see anything in that yet. I think Chen Tian did something and so on. But that part, what I can see is that as far as I talk to them, I don't understand what their proof. And I talk to other people in the field, so far I know, everyone I talk, no one said they understand. But it's published, so it's in public domain. You can read their paper. I think this case should be easier because you have global potential. So then the whole thing, then we still have to figure out a way how to relate this, you know, very nice analytical function, global potential, and to fit into the geometric context. But because for me, it's a learning process, so I'm still learning.